All right, this is Big John, the Gospel of John. This is a story about a man who had an infirmity, and I don't really want to dwell on this story. I'd give you a couple of lines on it. But this man was a griper. He was a complainer. He was crippled, and happy birthday. he was crippled, and he was laying in this. I mean, it's big. It's really huge. Five different pools and porches and stuff. And I've been there many times. It's huge. And anyway, then this crippled man would, because there was a story, I don't know if it's true or not, there was a story that if the angel came down from God and then stirred the waters up, the first guy in would get healed. So there was this guy that was crippled. So obviously he was trying to lay close to the deal. And then hope that when the water stirred up, he could just roll down or do something to get in. And somebody always beat him. Now that can make him mad. And he was so frustrated, but he just complained all the time about it. Well, because every time the water gets like stirred like that, did somebody else get there ahead of me? And so he was feeling sorry for himself. Amen? Thank God we don't have anybody like that in this church. Because that, if I were God, I would not even deal with such a person. I mean, I just wouldn't. Because, you know, they're hard to get along with, you know, because they're always complaining about some problem or other. Is there anyone here that knows somebody like that? I mean, not anybody here, but somebody that, you know, I mean, if I were God, I'd just skip that person. Go to somebody grateful and thankful and, you know, got a happy disposition. But God will just pick, you know, the worst people. And so Jesus, who always does what the Father does and always says what the Father says, heals him. He just goes and the Father says, no, not that one, not that one. Well, this one has leprosy. No, not that one. No, not that one either. They're pulling on him, you know, come over here. But just go over here to this one right here. And that guy, I would not have done it. I say, God, this guy is not, he's not faithful, or he doesn't deserve it. I mean, there are some people that don't deserve your love, your attention, your and especially family members. Sometimes you have people in your own family. And there are just times when they irritate you. Amen. Is there anyone here that knows somebody like that? Not just like, you don't deserve anything. I don't even know why you're still here. And so Jesus looked at this person and skipped everybody else who had legitimate things and so on, and went right to that one that didn't deserve it. Thank God. What a great story. Because there are times when we misjudge people. Have you ever misjudged somebody? You can just misjudge them. Well, Jesus had a secret. And his secret was, whatever heaven does on earth, I should do whatever my Father says. As in heaven, so on earth. Now that's our message for this year. I mean, every message is about that. Let's not talk about heaven or, you know, postpone it to the future. Let's bring it down today. Heaven on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Exactly as it is in heaven. Now, not like roughly. So that means it'd be perfect. Did you know if heaven acts on earth, it's perfect? Now, we don't do perfect, but God wants to do perfect through you. I mean, it's perfect. It won't get you into heaven. But you're already going there anyway because of what Jesus did. But Jesus, he always did what was pleasing to his Father. And so what he was really saying to the Jews, to the Pharisees, we're not picking on him. I'm just saying. What he was saying to him is, you got the wrong picture of God. You got the wrong picture of God. I am the son of the father, and I always do what pleases my dad. Whatever daddy wants. Now, Jesus is the first one in the Bible. The Jews did not do this. A lot of stuff is continuous from the Jews. This one's not. He called God his father, but he didn't use the word pater, but he used the Hebrew word Abba. Abba, daddy. That doesn't mean father. It means daddy. That's what a little child would say when daddy comes. Daddy's here. You know, and be back like that. Exciting, intimate. What God wants is not for you to behave yourself and be nice. He doesn't want you to believe certain concepts and ideas and propositions. What God wants is a love affair. I'm a lover. I you don't know that. There's no way you can know that. But I know it. I'm totally in love. It's easy. Why? He loved me first. He loved me when I was that yucky guy. And I didn't deserve it, and I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray for it. I was just, you know, me. And it was no good. There was nothing good about me. Nothing. Nothing good. I never tried to be good. I never was good. I never wanted to be good. I never prayed for it. But God loved me. He came and, you know, said, take up your bed and walk. Now, I broke a law. That broke one of the laws. Because one of the laws in Judaism is between Friday evening and Saturday evening, sundown, sundown, between those hours, you are not supposed to work or labor or strain or, you know, do anything. You could do a little bit, but it was kind of specified. You could take a couple thousand steps and that was it. But you could not go a long distance at all. You're not allowed to go very far. And so just necessities, that'd be about it. And so Jesus deliberately, knowingly, he knew exactly what he was doing. He said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. It's Sabbath. It's a day of rest. You don't labor. You don't walk. You don't, and you certainly don't carry your bed around. Now, that was kind of like a big mat, you know, that you roll up and so on. So he's carrying this thing around. And Jesus told him to do it. And this guy had been crippled like that. And he just did what the guy said. Take up your bed. He didn't say, let me pray for you. He didn't do anything. He just said, take up your bed and walk. This guy, instead of complaining about the water being stirred, just take up your bed and walk. How many know that God is ready to act, and you don't have to do it in a certain way? You don't have to pray in a certain way. You don't have the right sincerity in your language. It's just, you need it. Just do it, God. How many know that God will answer that prayer? Now, you got to be real in the sense of desperate. Is, hey, there's no one else is going to do it. I'd love to have somebody else do it rather than you, but you know what? I'm out of juice right now. I don't have any other hope. You got to be you, God. Amen? Like this baby. Where's that baby? What happened to that baby? So that baby is a miracle because there's no other hope. There's no other hope when somebody says it's over. It isn't over until God says it's over. Amen. Nothing's over. Nothing's over. Anyway, that doesn't sound like good news. So rather than just accept stuff like, that's life. How many know life is, it's kind of hopeless? Kind of. No, it's 100% hopeless. There's no hope in this world. There is no hope. A lot of young people don't know this. I wish there were more young people here. But, you know, for a young person, they grow up thinking there's life in life. You know, if I can just get out of the house and be on my own, there's life. There's life out there. Life, life, l'chaim. No, there isn't anything. There's only disappointment and hurt. Because when you hope in something, you'll be disappointed. Every single time. And then you know what you do? You harden yourself. Well, I ain't hoping anymore. Well, then you can't love, because if you love, you're going to get hurt. So you just don't want to hurt, so you don't love. And if you don't love, you're not alive. So you can't win for losing. You're damned if you do and you're damned. I don't care which way you go. You're not going to win. You're not. So you need help from the outside. You need an invasion from out there, and God has to come down. So this guy had no hope at all. But he when he was raised up, you know, he just got up just like Jesus said. He just like surprised him because the gripers aren't used to that. And he's like, well, okay. He just started walking around like this, with carrying his bed. And everybody saw it. And especially religious people keep an eye on you. I don't know if you know this, but religious people are very, you said the other day and now you didn't do that. Huh, you're a liar. Religious people are so good at judging people. I mean, that's a gift, of course. A gift to be able to discern what is obvious about you, you fake, you phony. They don't say those words, but that's what they're thinking. Thank God I'm not like you. They're thinking that. Did you know that people think that? And Christians are the best at it. I mean, they're really good. Religious people do it better than just regular people. So God the Father, up in heaven, healed that man and told him to carry his bed. Well, what about his left hand? Under God's left hand, he had a law, and he gave it to the Jewish people. You know, here's the law. Don't do any labor on the Sabbath day. You know, on the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day? Keep it holy. Just keep me in mind. I'm not to worry about stuff down here. You got 6 days, you know, to labor and then rest. You want to honor me. And so the Jews took that literally and still do to this day. You know, you're supposed to don't labor. You know, don't labor. Stop laboring. Stop working. And so literally then they would hate anybody that did that. If you were part of Israel, I mean, the nations can do it, but no, not here. And that's kind of like Christians do, too. Christians do that kind of stuff, too. Hey, this is the holy day. This is, you know. I mean, no, there is no holy day for Christians. There isn't any. Today is not a holy day. Like one day out of the week. Now, for some people, they think it is. Sunday is their Sabbath or whatever, Lord Day or whatever. But look, there's no law that says that. God never set a law like that. Every day for us is holy. All days are holy. Every day is Sabbath or whatever. I mean, every day is to glorify God. So there isn't one day that God wants an hour of your time. I'm only asking 1 hour. You know, this isn't God. God wants you to worship God all the time. And one of the sacrifices he's looking for is thanksgiving, praise, adoration. Why? Because there's no labor in it. You're thanking God for doing all the labor. On that day, God may have finished creation. He may even have finished salvation, which we call Jesus' redemption work. But the Holy Ghost isn't finished because he hasn't got us perfected yet. You're not going to go to heaven like you are. How many know that the way you are right now, you are not yet perfect? How many are aware of that? You don't need you get that? I mean, you don't. God doesn't want you doing any work, anytime, at all, ever. Now, I'm not talking about outward labor. I'm talking about labor, spiritual labor. We're not talking about work. Jesus said, even they, if they had a lamb that fell into a ditch, you'd go and dig it out because that's your money. There's your economy. There's your, you know, your source of belly food and whatever. So he said, you know, you guys don't even keep the law either. Because if one of, you know, if your wife was sick, you'd wait till Monday, you know, that kind of thing. But if it was your lamb, you'd go and get it. You know, or a chicken or anything, you know, you'd go and get it because it's your pocketbook. How many know that some people are hypocrites? Did you know that? I mean, the Jewish people particularly are hypocrites. Thank God I'm not Jewish. I don't want to be a hypocrite like that. But there's a lot of Christian hypocrites too. Amen? So they use the law to do an injustice. The letter of the law killeth, left hand. But the spirit of the law giveth life. Now, watch how it works. So it's like, if this hand, you fail, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. Then this hand can, may, might. This hand could trump that one. So if you believe this hand because you didn't do this hand, then this hand could trump it. It could triumph over it. So how many know that what the Jewish people call mishpat, a judgment, the mishpatim, plural, judgments of God, can be triumphed or trumped by the equity of God. That's mesharim. So the right hand is the mesharim, that if you failed and you're under judgment, even though God gave it, even though you're guilty before God, he has the right, if he wants to cover you, to rescue you, to redeem you. So even though you failed, he didn't fail. So the question is, Mesharim means equity, not law. Read the Constitution, it'll say law and equity. It's still there, but hardly anyone understands it anymore. But it used to be that it was totally a different court. But today, every court could be an equity court or a law court. You know, it's called at law and in equity. At in. One is at law, you might be guilty. But in equity, you might be innocent, depending on whether you took the mercy or not. And it happens all the time. So everybody's still familiar with it. It's just they don't know because they changed it in 1937 so that there were different forms and different courts you could go to for equity or law. I mean, if you failed in the law court, you could walk across the street and get into an equity court. What is equity? That means where you know in your conscience it's not right. So even though under the law you're guilty, in conscience, that shouldn't be. It's just not right. It's not fair. It's not good. And so there are higher laws and lower laws. I mean, like there's Supreme Court and then there's inferior courts. And state courts are inferior to federal. Okay? So we have district courts, but we have federal courts. They don't belong to Texas, but they're in Texas, but they're actually not, because their little territory is federal. And the state law can't enter into that court. They're inferior to that one. Well, God has higher laws, and here's his higher law. If God wants to forgive somebody at any time, he reserved this royal prerogative right as King of Kings and so on and so forth. He has the right to forgive anybody that's a sinner. Anybody that sinned under the left hand can be forgiven under the right hand. So not only forgiven, he can actually give you a gift if he wants to. And that is amazing. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came over here under this hand. And so when he healed this man that was crippled and walking around, he violated seemingly the law. But he said, no, I didn't violate it. I fulfilled it. The law said, be good, but it punished you when you weren't, and it didn't forgive you. But here, under this hand, I personally take a personal, intimate love affair interest in everybody. I personally can forgive any law. That's powerful. Now, I told you I raised my children that way. I raised them with high laws that I knew they could never fulfill. I deliberately, upped the ante to make sure that they failed. I wanted them to fail. So I gave them things that were really hard. One of the things I did, and when they came to church, I don't know if David remembers this, but they had to sit on the front row and look straight ahead and not wiggle or move their eyes even. They had to just sit like that and be bored. Whereas other kids were up on the stage running up there and getting on the microphone, hey, hallelujah, Jesus. And they were having a ball. And my kids had to sit there. Don't move! And I was serious about that. Don't you dare move. Dad would take you out and spank you. And so they hated that. How many know that you'd hate a law like that? When everybody else, especially, that seems unfair. It's unfair. Dad, this is boring. Dad, don't even say that again. So I put them so they understood this thing, that law is not a happy thing. There's no happiness in this law thing. It's going to restrain you. It's going to govern you. It's going to restrict you. It's going to constrict you to, do what your mom says, what your dad says. Amen? And thank God Peggy would always, back up my laws. I thank God for Peggy. That was good. Daddy said, so she hated my laws too, but she had to do it because she was a Christian, good wife. So she had to do it. But she hated it too, but she didn't say anything. And so she was trying to figure out some way to get some equity in there. But they are not going, to Six Flags or whatever the thing might be, because they didn't do this and so on. But I wanted the law to be so harsh that you'd understand God. Because the minute they broke the law, then I taught them how to cry out for equity. That is mercy. So forgiveness. And so I taught them how to do it. And then they overdid it. They wanted to have mercy all the time. They overdid it. But I reserved the right to go left or right. I mean, there was no law on this. They couldn't hold me to it. It's just that I might. I don't have to do this. It's a love thing. Now, that's another word in the Hebrew. So there's mishpatim, law, judgment. And then there's, over here, mesharim, equal. Equity is equal. In other words, it's equal to something. I'll explain in a second. But there's another thing going on, and that's the heart of God. This law came from the heart of God to break your flesh so that you wouldn't do any work. Because anything you do, you're going to get in trouble. Anything you do, you're going to get in trouble because you just can't be perfect. How many know that God knows that man can't be perfect? And so he gave the law knowing. He knew exactly because he knows everything. He knew that nobody's ever going to keep this law. So why did he give it? He gave it out of his loving heart, chesed, because he knew that he was going to exercise mesharim. In other words, when you're guilty under this law, just appeal over here. Make an appeal out of that court to over here to his heart. This hand, the right hand where Jesus sits, the right hand will always be merciful, always be gracious, always take all the burden on the promisor and always give the promisee, you, the blessing. No, God could never give you a spanking from the right hand. He could only give you mercy. And he could only give you help. And he could only give you his presence. And he could only give you everything wonderful and good. Because that's what he always intended. He just wanted to make sure you didn't add to it. Don't do anything. This is a gift. Don't mix this up with everything else in the world. Man's laws, they could be broken. And there are people that break them. Thank God, none of us. But there are people that break God's laws and man's laws. There's natural laws. There's moral laws. There's cultural laws. There's positive laws, higher, lower. There's laws all over the place. Okay, all kinds of laws. But God is the one that introduces, and the rest of the world never developed the equity system as did the West, and particularly England. England cultivated this better than any other nation, even though they understood it. So this is called higher law jurisprudence. You know exactly what that means. There are laws that are over other laws. And higher law means you could appeal to a higher law that would then say guilty here, but innocent here. But you'd have to know it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you don't know it, you couldn't use it. So somebody has to come and tell you there are higher laws operating in the universe. And so I wanted my kids to be guilty so that then I could then show them and teach them about equity or mercy or forgiveness or, hey, don't worry about it. Because I was more interested not in their behaving themselves, obeying. I was more interested in them believing that God was good. That mom and dad loved them and gave the law so that they would try and then couldn't do it. Well, I can't do it. It's good. That's why I gave it. Why? So I can show you mercy. Well, Dad, you said I had to make my bed before I could go out and play. Johnny's out there right now. He's wanting me to come out. Did you make your bed? Kinda. Well, you can't go out. Well, the blanket was over here. Now it's over there. It's closer to the bed. You know. Is this a hospital corner right here? And I would actually teach them. So I'd show them. I'd tell them what to do. Then I would, you know, do it. And then I would teach them. And they had to kind of do it. But they could never quite get it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'd say no wrinkles. You know, or something to make it just ridiculous. Because they're only 1.5 or 2 or whatever. But I did it because I wanted them to understand that the highest law in this universe comes from heaven. It doesn't come from the heart of God. This law right over here doesn't come from the heart of God. I mean, it is from his heart, but only so you don't misunderstand what mercy is. You have to be guilty. You have to have the bad news before you can get the good news. The good news won't mean anything. If you just spoil kids, they learn nothing. So you have to show them the wrath under this hand. Now, God chastens his children. He doesn't destroy them. The only reason that he disciplines them or chastens them is for their good. And so every law that was ever given, for example, give a law. Don't go out in the street. Okay, how many know that if you tell kids not to go out in the street, they might? Let's say they're on a tricycle and they're running up and down the driveway on their tricycle. And then they stop right at the, you know, at the end of the driveway and then turn back because there's a law. I gave them a law. Don't go out in the street. Well, that's too dangerous because they might forget or laugh or who knows what or hit a rock or whatever. So I did not have the line be at the street because, you know, a truck could come along, a car could come along. That's the end of them. Because they're not paying attention. They're just having fun. So I made the line at the back of the house. Do not ever go across this line. You see this line right here? Yeah, Dad. Okay, don't ever go across that. You understand? Yeah. Don't at all. Okay. Do you have that down? Yeah. So now it's very clear. But I know they're going to go over that line. I know it. Because they're just going to be wheeling around and they'll go over that line. And sometimes they even go, Dad didn't see that. I mean, sometimes kids are nasty like that. I did it 4 times and Dad didn't see me, you know. Because little kids are like that. Or other little kid could dare them. You can do it. You can go out. You can go further. And so on. No, you're not supposed to. That's when they're little. But a little older, you know. So the devil is an accuser, okay? But he can't accuse without a law. He can only accuse you if there's some standard somewhere. So the devil loves law. He's a legalist. He's a complete legalist. He uses the law to destroy life, hope, peace. He uses the law. So legalists do that all the time. The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. Letter, spirit. So higher law trumps lower law. This is the Mesharim based on the chesed of God to then remove the sting of mishpatim or mishpat. Now, I know you don't know all those words, but those words are just words about law and equity, left hand and right hand. So under the left hand of God. Now, let's read the scripture. This is the background of this man carrying his bed. The Jews catch him, and they now want to kill not the man, they want to kill Jesus for doing that. Verse 16, 5:16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to kill him. So I want you to know that persecute doesn't just mean, you know, harass him a little bit. It means they're out to kill him. There are people like that, especially religious people, who are vicious. Have you ever noticed that about the Muslims? They want to, if you steal something and they don't want you to, they want to cut your hand off. But that's kind of rough. That's kind of rough. But that's a good way of, you know, hey, we're serious about law. And they'll kill their own children if they don't wear their burqa or whatever it is. I mean, that's a rough religion. I mean, no, Christians also have that those kind of things, little taboos or whatever. You can't do that. And if you have a meeting in your home under Queen Elizabeth the First, if you have a meeting in your home and you're a Quaker or you're a Baptist or an Anabaptist, you are going to be burned at the stake. Well, that's kind of rough. And if you just have a thought in your head, don't even have a thought in your head, well, that's even rougher. But they wanted to control religion. And today, again, religion is controlled. I just want you to know this. And there are punishments for it. And people, pastors have lost their churches. There are many black pastors here that I met with, about 15 of them, who lost their churches, sold on the courthouse steps. I met with them. And I brought a legislator in to say, that's not right. Just because they can't afford the penalties and the interest and all this kind of stuff. And they said, well, I thought we're God's people. And how many old sharp lawyers can just mow you down? And the, you know, appraisal district would just say, well, you've lost your church. You've lost 5 acres down here. This is a real story. You've lost 5 acres down here next to the Miller Brewery. And so on. And they put his church on the courthouse steps to sell it. Well, I don't think that's what the law was meant to do. I don't think that was the original intention of the legislature, was let's make a law to do violence to conscience, to destroy property that belongs to God, dedicated to God, devoted to God, and sell churches. I don't think that was what the law was intended to do, but it's done all the time in this state and all over the United States. So that made me angry when I heard about that, because that's not good law. A law that violates conscience cannot be. I know what the law is. The law is this, Article 1:6. Every man has a natural and indefeasible, can't defeat it, he has a right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, Article 1:6, and many, many others. So that means conscience should never be violated. That's a higher law than a lower law. So whatever the problem is, if it's a conscience issue, it's constitutional, because the Constitution, through the Bill of Rights, protects that one and says inviolate forever. Well, then you should respect that. If that's what the people, who are the supreme sovereign, have set up, then someone should respect them. It's not a king. We don't have kings. We don't have nobles. We don't have those kind of silly things, those medieval things that the world has. There's not from nature. In nature, there are no kings. One person is not a king over another person. Not in nature. So, in nature, every man does what's right in his own eyes. It's, you know, I don't want to do that. If you can take me, come and take me. I'll defend myself. But in culture, we have laws that say, well, he can walk on your property because he's been doing it for 30 years, so that's a prescriptive right. Yeah, he can do it. He has a right of way because his house is behind yours and he's always walked across it. You never said anything until today. Yeah, they can do that kind of stuff. But those are property right laws. There's intellectual property right laws. There are religious property laws. You can have property in your person. You can have property in your health. You can have property in anything. So laws are so complex and rich. But I'll tell you one thing that doesn't change. There are higher laws and lower laws. So maybe I'm guilty here, but I'm not guilty here. And if somebody doesn't object, maybe you lose. But if somebody does object, maybe you don't. So you have to know. You have to know your rights. If you don't know your rights, you lose them. Ignorance of the law? Too bad for you. You better find out what they are, because they're making them all the time. And they violate your rights and liberties all the time. But if you just think, oh, somehow it'll work out, it won't. It's not only not going to work out, it's going to get worse. And once you let it go, there's a time limit also on a lot of laws. You know, like you can only object for so many months or years, and then you can't. So that's one of the laws. So it's got to be ripe. It's got to be timely. It's got to be what it's fresh. Anyway, Jesus then came down, told that man, take up your bed and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And he did. And then he got himself in trouble. And then they said, let's kill Jesus because he's breaking the law. And that is wrong. He caused that man to do that. So did Jesus have the right or wrong? Did he have the right to do what he saw his Father himself doing up in heaven? God in heaven healed that man. Jesus saw him heal that man. And God the Father was telling Jesus all as he was walking through there, here's a leper. No, not him. Here's one with a headache. No, don't do that one. Here's one here, the griper complainer guy. That's the one right there. So Jesus had to go to the griper complainer guy because his Father in heaven wanted that man healed that day. And then he told him, and say this, take up your bed and walk. God said that, God the Father. And when the Jews heard that, they said, no way. God would never have law that was different than his other law. Is one God. No, we don't accept that. You are not of God. You're a blasphemer, and we're going to kill you. So there's the end of Jesus. Do y'all see that? The Jesus that we like, you know, he's finished. There's no good. They don't like him. So, and they succeeded. Praise the Lord. I mean, when you want to use a law to destroy somebody, you know, some people have enough money and time and capacity and influence and so on. They can get anything passed they want. They can misuse or abuse the law to do destruction when the law was intended to be a blessing. Did you know that every law that is made by God, every law that's made by God is always for your good? Every law that was made by God, even all those laws in the Old Testament, they're all made for your good. They're all made for your good. It's like, don't go out in the street. you know, so I put the line at the back. But every law I ever made was so that if they did break it, it would not destroy them, but I would show mercy and I'd pay for it. Because I wanted them to be happy. So laws are for happiness. Did you know every law is given for your safety and your happiness? Personal safety, security of your property, and your happiness in this world. In other words, you should be able to do, you know, basically what's good for yourself. And then, so the government should only restrain you from doing something that would be harmful to others or to yourself. Shouldn't do anything else. But it isn't the way it works. So you learn in your own family how to do this. So Jesus, listen what happened. So the Jews said to him, verse 16, they sought to persecute Jesus and sought to kill him, slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. The day of rest. You didn't rest on this day. That's not the purpose of religion. Religion should always bless you. Yeah, you'll never hear me giving bad news. I'll never give it. Everything for me is happiness and joy and peace, love. It's not, you know, you did that. God is mad at you now. You're second class from now on. God will get you for that. I've never said that. Has anybody ever heard me say that? I'll never say it. But a lot of ministers say it or imply it. Well, you know, after what you just did right there, God is not happy with that. I've never said that. I'm sure the Sunday school teachers do back there when they got kids that misbehave. I'm sure they say that. You do that one more time, you're going to hell. I'm sure they may not say it, but they indicate you did bad. And they want you to feel bad, so you don't do that. Maybe you're just poking somebody next to you or something. They just, but that's really what they're doing. They're really going to put it right to you so you don't do it anymore, because they're just after behavioral modification. They're not really after sending you to hell. It's just that you don't seem to be listening to anything else, so you're going to hell. So get out of this class. You know, they're going to be radical because people want people to behave. People are control freaks. Has everybody ever noticed that? Yeah. I mean, none of us, but I'm talking about other people. I'm not talking about us. We would never do that. No, people are control freaks. They want to control people, and they try to find the handle on you that they can pull you away or get you to go in a certain direction. But God is not like that. His equity says, I made a promise, and I'll keep my promise, and I want you to rely on my promise, not on your work. There's no work you can do to ever please me. But my promise, I swear to you, I'll only do good all the days of your life. Wow, that's a better deal. That is a better deal. How many know that God only has good news? Yes. Blessed are those that bring good news. Amen. And I'm just telling you because I failed on the left-hand thing. I never even thought about doing the left-hand thing, ever. I was always rebellious. I was always selfish. I was always looking for a shorter way to do whatever needed to be done, even if I had to do bad stuff. And I just didn't want to do it the normal way, like standing in line for a long time. That just never appealed to me. Now, I doubt there's anyone as wicked as that, but that was the way I was. If there was a long line and I saw a little door off to the side, I wanted to know what's in that door. That might be a quicker way to get to the back, you know, whatever. And I'm going to just do it. Even if I don't actually do it, I'm going to check it out. See, it's just a closet, like that one right there. Who knows where that door goes? You don't know what's in there. Probably a vacuum cleaner, but whatever it is, we keep that locked so nobody can get in there. So God always has a good way. There's no bad ways with God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. I don't care what you've done or what you've thought. I don't care what you felt. I don't care what you wanted. God will forgive you. Now, he doesn't say it's not wrong, because what is the law but saying be perfect? And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is us. That's what's wrong with it, is you're talking to the wrong person. Because I'm not a perfect person. I never have been, never will be. If the religion ever required that, I'm finished. There's no way. I didn't join the outfit because of the law thing. I did it because of the promise thing. Now let me go over that again. Now, what's the promise now? That no matter what I've thought, said, done, etc., let me cover all those bases, you know. Because I'm sure I did it or thought about it. Whatever it is that you're not supposed to do, I'm sure I've done it already, or I've thought about it, or if you press me real hard, I'll probably do it. Let me know that in a tight spot, people will throw away all their morals, all their religious principles, and so on, and do something evil towards someone you're supposed to do something good to. You know, early on, I learned that if you argue with your wife, she's not going to just, you know, say, "Yes, sir." I learned that. And so I just learned that if I say, "Peg, I want you up in the morning, 6 o'clock, get all the breakfast, get the house cleaned up, and then raise me up, and and I'll come. Or bring it to me, you know, whatever. I mean, it just seemed like the right thing. If you're the head, she's the submitted one. Why not? You know. So, but within, I've told you this story a billion times, but within a couple hours, I knew the marriage was over. Because I knew that either the marriage was over or I had made a mistake, which was that I thought I could argue with Peggy. So sometimes I know I've said these words: I'm never going to argue with her again because she is not submitted. She's not going to do what I say. Even if outwardly she says she will, in her heart of hearts, she doesn't want to do it. I say, "Now, Peg, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it." "I'll do it." So I knew she's got a bad attitude. I want her to have a wonderful attitude. "Yes, Master, I will do it." just something simple like that. How many know that is an illusion? Well, I learned that right away. But I will find myself, even though I make those little vows like, "Don't ever argue with her, just let it go." You tell her and then drop it. Don't pick it up again. But sometimes I know she's going to start arguing. I know how it's going to come out, but I will do it anyway. She just pressed the button. She pressed the wrong button. "Well, pick." And then I'll just get right into it. And I know it's not going to work out good, but I do it anyway. Has anyone ever been that stubborn, stupid? It's me. I am so stupid. And afterward, I'll even say to myself, "What'd you do that for? Why did you do that?" You know that doesn't work. Is anybody like that? Anyway, that's the way it goes. So after a while, you learn that laws don't work good with people. You get yourself a cat. No, they don't work good with cats either. You get yourself a good dog, though. Man, those dogs are all right. I mean, they are. They just all the time wag the tail, all the time happy to see you, you know. And that they're great. "Fido, come here, you know, roll over." You know, that's great. Dogs are great, you know. Goldfish, they hardly ever get out of the tank. You know, just stay in there, you know. So you want someone that obeys and you can control as an animal. It's a pet. Do not get married. Get an animal or a pet. So, because when you're all alone, you're single, you're young, you get along fine with yourself. You know, you may ball yourself out a little bit, but you're not going to hurt yourself knowingly. And so God had Jesus say these words and do these deeds. He set that man free. Then they said, "We're going to kill him." That's extreme. That's extreme, because all he was doing was helping a guy. But God knows that these laws were set up so that no man would ever do them. Get this, Don. This is so good. God never wanted anybody ever to keep his law. Why? Well, for one thing, nobody does. I don't know if you've noticed this, but other people certainly don't. You ever notice this about other people around you? And I'm really quick on that. I am so sharp on that. "Hey, you said you're, you know, I'm quick." Is anybody else quick like I am? It's a gift. It's a gift. It's just, you know, one of those things. I don't know if everybody has it or not, but I'm quick to notice, not if I bite Peggy, but if she bites me, I am quick to notice that. I feel if I do it, I can justify. I can explain why I did that. But if she does it, hey, that's wrong. I'm just offended right there. So we are quick to notice when someone does harm to us or when they're threatening us or whatever else. We're quick to pick that up. Does anybody else, you realize that? It's called the law of self-preservation. I'm clear right there. Hey, I don't like what you just did. You do that one more time and, you know, we're very clear about that. And we try to set up these rules that people should follow. I mean, the people just run over your fences. They just run over all your little barriers that you stick up, all the little signs, don't trespass here, don't step on this, don't transgress. But people will do it. Like when we were first married, one of my laws was when you walk into a room and you turn on the light, when you walk out of the room, you turn off the light. You know, you don't just go through the whole house turning on all the lights and leave it, because that's electricity being wasted. You know, it's like opening the refrigerator door and leaving it open for a few seconds. It's like, hey, that's, you're wasting the cold, you know, right there. Keep that in that box. I don't know. I was just raised in the Depression era. Was anybody as old as the Depression era? You know, well, you saved every piece of string and so on and so forth. I still got string. I mean, I've got that stuff. I cannot throw anything away. So you have to kind of make your way through the house. I mean, it's very difficult. But at least I'm saving stuff in case that ever happens. Anyway, so I tried to tell Peggy, when you walk through the house, well, go do it yourself. That was her response. You're like, Peg, the lights are still on in the house. Well, go shut them off. Well, that's not right. You're the wife. I'm already in bed. I'm in bed. You see me laying here. Well, I'm not doing it. That is stubborn. Is that not rebellious and stubborn? So God wants you to have a sense of humor. Hello. Because people are going to not obey your laws, your rules. And she's right. Hey, just get up yourself. Get it. You can go shut them off. Is the back door locked? Probably. Well, could you go and check? Because you're up and I'm already sleeping. Does anybody have these things? You know. Anyway, I had 100 of them, 1,000 of them. And you don't even know you have them. You just automatically just say them. Hey, when we're at this table, we all sit down. You know, whatever. You just got a million of these things that you got when you were a kid. And then you find out people don't obey. And so you have to, you know, hopefully you can get the last child at least to obey. Because I remember, you know, Kara taught Kirsten, who taught David, who then taught Margaret. So they ruined each other. Kara was the oldest one. When Dad tells you have to eat all your peas, when he's not looking, spit them out in your hand and stick them up under the... We had a little ledge on our table. And one day, I had to pick something up and I looked under the table and there was mold everywhere. There was mold. It was growing up like a lawn. So, what is all this? I had no idea what it was. And they had each learned how to do it, and they had that thing just packed with stuff. Because I made them sit there. Dad, I don't want to eat these peas. You know, you eat them or you don't move from that table. Yeah, because I learned that when I was a kid. So, I mean, the laws don't work. Now, if we learn that, God also has learned that nobody ever kept any of his laws because he never intended for anyone to keep them. So, they're just kind of an educational thing, like feel guilty or something. But anyway, God wants to redeem everything. So listen to this. Listen, this is so powerful. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Well, there's a problem right there. My Father, nobody ever used that word in the Old Testament. Abraham was a father, but not God wasn't called his father. Well, we are the children of Abraham and we're the, you know, it was hard though to put that to God, daddy. No, that didn't seem to fit. I mean, no, God should have a little more dignity or rank or something. Don't pull him down to your level. But little kids do. You could be the president of the United States and the little kid could just run into your bedroom and, Dad! You know, because they don't have any, you're just daddy. They don't know all that protocol stuff and secretaries and so on. So that is one reason why in this church, you don't have to call a secretary or something to get me. We don't have any. And so you can just call me. The problem is I don't have a phone. And so you may not be able to do it. But if you were real spiritual, you could call on the Holy Spirit. And he would tell me to call you. But it just shows how unspiritual you are. So these law things don't work with people. But God has equity. And equity is what Jesus is telling him. My Father worketh still, and I work. And to put his name with God's name as though they were equal is evil. So here's what they said. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, verse 18, because he not only had broken the Sabbath by making the man work, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they felt Father and Son was an equal. This is the Jews, not Jesus. And they're right. It is an equal. Because if you're the Father, then you're the Son. You're just as equally human as your Father. And in this case, he's a spirit, so you're just as much, if he calls you his Son, spiritual with him. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. So you have to be, if you're a Christian, you're not just moral, you're not just religious, you're not just behaving, you're not just thinking stuff and going through rituals. You actually have a living, loving, intimate love affair with the living God. And you can hear him. My sheep hear my voice. That's it. If you're one of his sheep, you can hear him. And so when you call out, God, help me. God, I need help right now. You're the only one. I tried every other God and they're not working. Could you help me? I called Pastor Jim. He won't do it. He's not home. And so I've trained the church to realize that. I really worked hard at that. Is don't call me. Go direct to Jesus. He is invisible, but he's always got his phone off. You know, he's ready. As soon as you call, yes, I love you. Where you call me, and it's like. But Jesus is always happy to hear your call. I look at it and I go, Peg, this one, don't answer that one right there. That person is a botherer. She's going to bother me. You remember that Bible verse, wearing out the saints? That's one of those. I got good scriptures. I got scriptures for everything. So here's what they said. Because he had made himself equal with God. That word equal or equity is mesharim. It's just equal. Equal to what? Here's what it's equal to. Law does this. Law says you're burdened. Equity says God's burdened. Law says you need to do this to please God. Equity says God has already done this to bless you. It's different. Law is a command to you. Promise to you is God. So the heart of God is to make you promises that he has to keep, not you. That's better than a law. I like promises better. Promises put all the weight on the promisor to the promisee. You're always the promisee. You're the beneficiary of all his promises. Every promise that he's ever given is for your good. It's for your health. It's for your wealth. It's for your welfare. It's for temporal things, eternal things, all things. He wants heaven on earth, literally. Whatever is done in heaven, start now, right here. So he wants you to actually to have heaven. Does everybody here have it? I mean, just by the promises. If you go by the law thing, you're in hell. I mean, those law things are hard. Be like I am, or else. You know, I don't like law things. I like promises. Jim, you're not like me, but I forgive you. I'm going to have Jesus come down and die for all your sins. Then I'm going to have the Holy Ghost get inside of you and fill you with his Spirit. And then I'm going to change you and transform you into his likeness. Then I'm going to perfect you and then bring you home, and you'll be the bridegroom's bride. That's it. I like those promises. Jesus, what do I have to do for that? Nothing. What could you do? Nothing. Well, there we are. So equity means equal to God's original intention when he created you. Equal to God's original intent when he started out mankind. What was the intent of giving the law? To prove that you aren't God and can't do what God wants. But also to fulfill that, Jesus did that, to fulfill that law through Jesus Christ, so that whatever you were supposed to do, Jesus by promise would do it for you, so that you could not, should not do anything except take it. Thank you, I praise you, and I love and adore you. Period. That's Christianity, right there. So there is no beads to do. There is no, you know, you have to go to church on Saturday or on Friday or any day. You don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. That's why he says finished. It's over. I did it all. Did you know you're complete in him? All you got to do is have a relationship with the guy who's made a promise to you that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Wow, I mean, that's incredible right there. Because he's eternal. And if he never leaves me, I got to be eternal. I like that. So I'm going to be eternal. There's nothing I can do to break a law now? No. Well, I'm going to sin all I can till I go to heaven. I mean, I might as well live that way till I get there. Have you ever thought of that? Don't think of that. Don't think of that. So if God's going to be forgiving and kind and loving, shouldn't I abuse him? No. Here's why. I don't know. I can't think of why. You know what? You have abused God. We do it every day. Even though God has done all this goodness, there's not a day you could say, I was so appreciative today. You're never going to be perfectly appreciative today. And you're never going to be able to say, I didn't sin at all. However, he promises that he will transform you. And the more you behold him, the more you're changed. If you just look at his goodness, at him the promiser, the benefactor of all mankind, if you keep looking at what he does, you will sooner or later become just like him, because that's what he does through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you on a daily basis until you are perfectly like him. But spiritually is one thing. Psychologically, it's daily. But bodily, that's future. So you are saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved, all three. So which one is salvation? All three. You are already saved spiritually. You are not yet saved, though you can daily be saved minute by minute. But I'll tell you what, it won't be perfect. It will not be perfect. Until that trumpet sounds, you will not be perfect. So you don't even aim for that and say, I want to be absolutely perfect in all my thinking and all my doing. Yeah, pray that way. But you know what? It's future. You're not going to have that secured in this world. Never. Until the trump sounds. So just so you know that, you can have occasional moments when you go, thank you, Jesus. It's good. But that wasn't enough to get you into heaven, because you can't keep that up. Let's say you love somebody for a few seconds. It won't last. I guarantee you, it won't last. You have to start all over again the next day. Because the next day you thought, hey, I loved that person all day and they didn't thank me. And, you know, I don't appreciate that, you know. And pretty soon you're going to be back in sin again, or you'll be proud. Thank God, I was loving all day. What amazing person I am. No, that was the work of God. And he wants all the praise. He wants all the worship. Why? Because you can't handle worship, praise, and glory. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, watch what Jesus says, and we'll close with this. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus answering them, the Son can do nothing. Say it, nothing.
Nothing.
That's you. You're the Son. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In the same exact way. So when we do a good work, that's when men marvel. And they go, how'd you do that? You're not like that. Especially family members who know you well, they go, yeah, you're different than you've been. And they'll give glory to the Father in heaven because they know you didn't produce that. They know that's not like you. You're nervous or you're real noisy or whatever. And they know you're not behaving that way. Let's say you're shy and all of a sudden you're bold in Christ. They know that was Jesus. Or let's say you're bold and brassy and bossy, but all of a sudden you're quiet. They know, that's a miracle right there. So God watches that. God is keen on that. And he knows, don't do any labor. Just be you. Don't worry about how it's all working out. I'll fix it. Just like with my kids. Let me do it. Let me pay for everything. Let me do that, not you. The only reason I'm giving you some chores is so you fail. When you fail, I'll just show you mercy. Now, as I said, you got to get the law thing down so that you realize you're not supposed to do something to please somebody. You're doing it because it's right. That's all. You just do it because it's right, because you want to do what's right. You've got that written on your heart, by the way. Everybody has that on their heart to do good. It's just they got something else in their soul that's going to overthrow that. So you need to have someone write over your already written on heart. The natural law needs to be superseded or superscribed by the Holy Ghost. That's a spiritual trust put on top of a natural trust, put on top of a public or, you know, a private trust. All kinds of trusts. But in the end, put your trust in the Lord. Put all your trust in the Lord. So here's what it is. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he doeth. What is love? The love of the Father is showing you exactly what he's doing right now in heaven. The love of the Father. This is how you can tell if you're a son of God, if you're a child of God. He's going to show you exactly what he's doing right now in heaven. Wow. You say, I don't think I've ever heard anything, or I've not seen anything. Yeah, but you can. Say, God, show me what you're doing. It's not hard. Just say, God, I don't know what you're doing right now. Show me. And he will. Because you're his daughter, you're his son. And he can speak in such a way you can hear him. Now, no man can give you that. You can't do that as a human being. You can only do that because you're listening to the promisor under the hand of equity who comes through the gospel, the good news, which is going to say something wonderful, not something heavy burdened. Now, let's say he says to me, Jim, you bless your wife, give her all the blessing, and you take all the burdens. Well, if I don't want to do it, I won't hear that. Or I'll hear it and translate it and change it. But if I want to do it because I tried bossing her and it didn't work, then I realize, you know what? Let's do it God's way, because my way is not going to work. It's not bringing me happiness. It's certainly not giving her happiness. Let's just, you know, not let her get her own way, but let her get all the blessing and you take all the burden. Now, a real man would do that. A real man would do that. If Peggy is worried about something, I don't want her to worry. I want her to tell me what she's worried about, and we're going to solve it right there. You just give it to me. I'll take care of it. I don't want you to do anything. Don't say that. Say this. You know, I just want to help her. But let's say she doesn't receive the help. It's okay. I still want to help her. So I can go and pray. No one's going to stop me from praying, even if she's not listening. I tell her anyway and just let it fall apart. But you know what? Sooner or later, love will win. I tell you, if you love somebody, if you're a teacher and you love your children, they're going to know it. I don't care how much they misbehave because you love them and they just feel, oh, we can get away with anything. No, love will discipline you sooner or later, but only when you're ready for it. Because a lot of people have never been loved unconditionally long enough than to say voluntarily, God, I want to do what you want. I don't want to do my will because it never works. But yours works perfectly. How many have tried God out and found out he is reliable when nothing else works? So the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God, all of it, law and gospel, is all gospel. Everything in this Word is for you and for your blessing. Everything, nothing in it is a burden here. So when you carry a burden voluntarily, you've actually kept all the law and you weren't even trying to. But you just did it by loving, because love is the fulfillment of the law. The love of God to you, then in you, then through you to others. Ah, only God can do that. That's why men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. All right, hope you're blessed today to see how good our God is. Let's have two testimonies.